We are gathered here today on All Tech Considered to note the passing of two dear friends.
Let us lay to rest the VCR. This month, the Japanese company that's considered to be the last VCR maker in the world is ceasing production.
And BlackBerry is discontinuing the classic model with a physical keyboard that made it famous. It was once called the CrackBerry because its users were such addicts.
We've read lots of odes and eulogies to them in recent weeks.
And this one is ours. Rest in peace, dear friends.
Harvard professor Kolestis Juma has a theory about why it's so hard to say goodbye to technology that's past its prime. Professor Juma, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why do people resist new technologies?
People tend to resist new technologies if they perceive that they might lose something that they value, whether it's power or whether it's income, or in some cases, whether it's just identity, where they associate themselves with a particular technology, and if it's, there's a threat that it might disappear, the feeling is that they might, in fact, lose something that they value.
Do you have an example?
One example is we constantly adopt or buy new iPhones because they add something to what we do. But when you introduce, say, robots in a workplace, you get anxiety because of people being concerned that it might displace what they already have or their jobs or their sources of income.
I heard that you had trouble letting go of your BlackBerry.
I didn't want to give it up, partly because I was so emotionally attached to the device. But upon reflection, I was thinking about all the device for me represented the global networks that I had. It contained all my addresses. So the idea that I was switching to something else created a certain level of anxiety in me to a point where I stalled for quite a while until it just broke. When it broke, then I was ready to switch to a smartphone.
But up until then, it was a symbol of something, something that you had accomplished.
Yeah, to me, it symbolized my efforts to collect addresses.
Most of the time, do these technologies fade away? Are they unceremoniously dumped? What happens?
Technologies historically have been eliminated a lot more slowly because of the pace of change. This is not going to be the case in the future because the technologies are now advancing extremely fast. So we're going to be starting to see technological displacement occurring much faster than we've done in the past.
Now, what technology do you think we've held on to for too long?
I think the typewriter keyboard for me is the one that is most amazing. The typewriter keyboard is actually quite inefficient. The keys were designed specifically to slow down the speed of typing because the early typewriters were not very efficient. But it has become very difficult to change the keyboard and adopt a different setup.
And with this, you're referring to the QWERTY system, where it's not in alphabetical order or anything like that.
Exactly, because there are more efficient ways of arranging the letters. It should have died long time ago. It should have died in the 40s. I think that's really symbolic of the staying power, in some cases, of bad ideas.
Harvard professor Kolestis Juma, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Kolestis Juma is the author of Innovation and Its Enemies, Why People Resist New Technologies.
We went on Facebook to ask you about the technology that you think should be put to rest. Your overwhelming response?
The fax machine.
One listener, Stephen Harvey, says the fax machine, quote, might as well be a screeching dial-up carrier pigeon.
And here's Erica Locker, a veterinarian in Gainesville, Florida.
I think the fax machine should stop being made. I ask myself every day, why must I still have one? I simply can't get some companies to communicate with me any other way. It drives me crazy because I have to pay for an extra phone line. I have to pay for the faxes. I have to pay for my staff to get us off junk fax lists. It's just ridiculous. I hate that stupid thing.
Other things that you'd like to say goodbye to? The dot matrix printer, the multi-disc CD changer, and voicemail.
Here's something that is disappearing. Independent computer repair shops. Manhattan is saying goodbye to one that has something of a cult following. TechServe has rescued Apple device owners for nearly 30 years, well before the first official Apple store opened in New York City. Today, the shop closes its doors for good, a victim of high rents and retail competition. Here's reporter John Kalish.
Step into TechServe and marvel at the antique radios, microphones, and electrical meters lining the walls. In the back of the spacious store, every model of the Mac that was made is displayed. And you can still buy a bottle of Coke for a nickel from a 1950s vending machine. TechServe was started by two radio engineers in 1987. That's 14 years before the first Apple store opened. David Lerner is one of the co-founders.
For a long time, we were a Mac destination in New York. And as Apple started opening their stores, which they're temples, really, you know, there are six within, 2 miles of us now, it's more convenient to go closer.
The Apple stores may be more convenient, but TechServe co-founder Dick Deminis is no fan of their uncluttered, spotless decor.
Everything is forward-looking. It's all new. It's all clean. There's no hint of history. I want to respect those who came before.
Blue ticket 53.
Customers take a decidedly analog deli counter ticket and wait for their number to be displayed on old Macs kept alive from the 1980s. One of the owners once hacked an iMac installing a second monitor on its base. Asher Rapkin worked at the store when the two-headed iMac was put on display.
It was just awesome, and this is so much of why I think people would come in, because while you were sitting there stressed out waiting to find out if your term paper was going to get saved, you could play with a two-headed iMac.
TechServe was so well known in New York that it had a cameo on the hit TV show Sex and the City. When Carrie Bradshaw's PowerBook crashed, she brought it here.
I was just typing, and then there was a mean little man who popped up, and he had X's where his eyes should be.
That's a sad Mac. You should tell me that before.
The techs here have been known to discover problems and fixes for Macs before Apple does. The store's diverse workforce includes white-haired baby boomers, tattooed millennials, women techs. Deb Travis has worked here for 20 years. She says many of her coworkers were touring musicians.
People who would go off for 2 or 3 months and then come back. That was one of the big perks of working here. Most of the people who worked here had other things they were doing.
Other perks include health insurance and free lunch for the store's 100 or so employees. Many say it's the best place they ever worked. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.